for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2015 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, September the 4th, 2015. Jerry McGee is the speaker of the service, teaching on the law of sowing and reaping.
I want to say I appreciate this camp so much.
Amen.
There's not many places in America that you can go and get a pure word. Not that we're perfect. We're all a work in progress. But I tell people, for those of you who have not heard this, those of you who are listening on the internet, if you want some deliverance, come to Lake Hamilton. And if you come to all the camps, next year you won't even know yourself. I've been coming since 1997, and I tell you, every time I go home, I'm different. And I'm so thankful for that. You know, you have to keep dealing with your stuff if you want to walk in divine health, you want to walk in victory. Jesus did it all at Calvary, but he lets us choose if we're going to work it out. He says we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. And so praise the Lord. Well, you got to hear my grandson, all capital letters. You know, I call my grandchildren capital G, capital R, capital A, N, D, children. My friend Laurie, that had been my friend for 35 years, died in June or July. I forgot when. I cried for 2 weeks because she'd been my prayer buddy for 35 years. And she was always there to check on me. She was always there to see if I was still grieving. And it really was sad for me, but happy for her. But God sent David home to be my prayer buddy. And he's the best prayer partner I have ever had. We have the greatest fellowship together. You know, a lot of times you can't fellowship with family members. And so I'm just so thankful that God brought him home. Amen. I don't know how long God's going to let us have him, but praise God. Bless the Lord. Well, I tell you, the days of technology. Thank God. Lord, in Jesus' name, we come before your throne. We thank you that you are the Alpha, the Omega. We thank you, you are the beginning and the end. We thank you that you're in control of all things, Lord, whether it looks like it or not. Lord, thank you that you've even created the devil for your own purposes. Lord, you created the smith to blow the coals. You created the destroyer to ruin. Everything has been created by you and for you, and without you there wasn't anything that was made that was made. So we thank you, Lord, that you are the king. You're our king. You said it's king over the flood. And Lord, there's a flood coming across America, but you're king over it. And Lord, I just know that you're allowing a lot of it to wake us up. And so I thank you, Lord, that you won't put more on us than we can take. We thank you, Lord, that your grace is sufficient. We just thank you, Lord, that our eyes are looking upon you, Lord. And we just thank you that you are the one we're trusting in. And Lord, some people boast in chariots, some boast in horses, but we boast in the name of the Lord our God, our King, our Lord, our Commander-in-Chief of all the armies of heaven. And so, Father, I just thank you for what you're going to do in this meeting. Father, I ask you to give every person ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart that can understand so that they'll turn and be healed. Father, in the name of Jesus, I release over this place the truth that sets people free. I bind you, Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places. I bind you in the heavenly places and on this earth. I forbid you to work with, communicate with, make contact with anyone on this earth or in the heavenly places to work divination against this meeting, against Meryl and Barbara, Patty, Kevin, all the workers of this camp, and every person here in Jesus' name. We declare you're a defeated foe. We have authority over all your power, and we bind you and all your demons in Jesus' name, and we loose mighty, warring, holy angels into this place to do battle, to drag out the demons, in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask that you give people insight as they hear this message, that you'll write it on their hearts. Lord, in Jesus' name, even though some people have heard this message, Lord, I pray you give them a different dimension to it. Let them have understanding, Lord. You said, give us understanding that we may live. Lord, that understanding that is the truth that sets us free. We praise you and bless you in Jesus' name. Lord, we ask you to bless this camp, bless the finances of this camp in Jesus' name. I want to say this. If you don't have a church where you're tithing, you need to tithe. Tithe it to Lake Hamilton Bible Camp. They need your gift. And this is the greatest ministry that I know of here in the United States. It's just such a blessing. And I appreciate you, Merle. I think you're just a tremendous man of God, and we just appreciate being on the same page with you. Praise the Lord. Well, this message is called the law of sowing and reaping, and a lot of you know the principles of sowing and reaping. But whether you like it or not, there are spiritual laws that govern the universe. There's the law of aerodynamics, that when a plane leaves, the law of gravity that pulls. How many of you know when you get on a plane, it feels like every screw in that plane is going to fly out when it's taken off? You think, oh, Lord, hope this. When I get on a plane, I declare the minute I step on that plane, every demon in that plane is bound in Jesus' name. And, you know, if the plane starts doing this, I say, Lord, you said the righteousness of the blameless will smooth their way. And I lose angels to smooth out the airway, and the plane just never have turbulence. Because we have authority and we can take dominion, as Carla said. And I want to be that extraordinary Christian. I don't want to be your I want God to say to me, well done, my good and faithful servant. I plan to get better tomorrow and the day after and the day after. Till I leave eternity, I'm going to be overcoming something. How about you? You know, that's the secret of walking in divine health, is don't allow evil thoughts in your mind. If you have a thought, ask God where it came from. If something comes out your mouth, listen to what you're saying. How'd that get there? If it's just, you know, the Bible tells us where to take our thoughts captive. Well, you can't take your thoughts captive to get your heart pure. You can't take your words, you can't tame your tongue till you get your heart pure, because what's in the heart comes out the mouth. What's in the heart comes up into the thought life. And, you know, every evil deed begins with an evil thought, with a thought. So if the thoughts don't line up with the Word of God, you need to find out how they got there and deal with them at the cross. But there's a law of aerodynamics, that when the plane leaves the law of gravity, and then it gets a certain level, another law takes over and pulls it upward. There's a law of physics, that if I know the size and weight of a ball or the distance to a wall and throw a ball into that wall, I can know with what momentum that ball's going to come back. There's a law of sowing and reaping. There's a law of gravity. Whether you believe it or not, go jump off a building and see if you don't come down. Right? A law of sowing and reaping. And Jane sang some songs a while ago about our land. You know, our heart is our land. This is our heart, is our land, is our spiritual garden. And there's giants in our land. We've got, you know, the children of Israel had a physical land to possess. They had to conquer giants. Well, we have giants in our land, spiritual giants. There's giants of lust, as Nikki talked about last time, and that was a good message with Nikki, because we've got to overcome these things. And it's a choice. We have to choose. And so there's fear on our land. There's deception. There's pride. There's arrogance. There's physical problems we have to overcome. The promises of God are to the overcomer, not to the overcome. And, you know, most church members are overcome, and they don't even know it. Most of them need deliverance, and that everybody needs deliverance, but most people don't even believe they need it. And those are the ones that need it the most. I'm so thankful that God taught me about repentance, and he taught me about deliverance, and he taught me about the laws of sowing and reaping. And so when an evil thought comes into my mind, I deal with it. Lord, how did it get there? Now, you know, there's a difference between recurring thoughts versus just a passing thought. You know, if you have a thought to lust and you go, yeah, you just received it, didn't you? But if you have a thought to lust and you say, no, get out of here in the name of Jesus, I rebuke you. It's not a sin. And so we have to deal with thoughts that on our land are giants. There's unrest. There's insomnia. There's panic. There's fear. There's torment. There's adultery. There's perversion. There's sodomy. There's bestiality. Depending on the generational iniquities of the forefathers and the sins that you've committed, the sins that have been committed against you that you've not dealt with. And so, whether we like it or not, we all are reaping right now, without exception. We're reaping the things from the past, if we haven't dealt with them at the cross, and we'll be reaping things in the future that we do, because every thought, word, deed, and act we do at some point in our life has to be dealt with. Thank God He don't pile them up all on us at once. And I've discovered that God, and you can just know, God uses the problem to show you what He wants to deal with next. Not because He's mad, unless you're just willfully rebellious. Nikki shared a scripture, if you go willfully sinning after receiving the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer a sacrifice for your sins. You stop sinning. Stop sinning and take it to the cross. But as long as you're sinning, there's no sacrifice. You've got to stop it, whatever you're doing that displeases the Lord. So we have to deal with every thought, word, deed, attitude, and action. And God says, if you confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Many people believe that because Jesus died on the cross for us, praise God He did, that we don't have to deal with our stuff. That it was taken care of Calvary, that's it. Oh my goodness, what a dangerous doctrine that is. And so, Jesus at Calvary made a way for us to redeem every lawless deed. It says in Titus 2 that Jesus died to redeem every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people zealous for good deeds. That was the reason He died, to purify us from every lawless deed. There's a scripture, and I meant to look it up and didn't, but in Hebrews, like every, I'm paraphrasing, but every, and I'm going to look for it, and maybe I'll have it by tomorrow, but every sinful thing we do, you have to make accountability for it. And, you know, this process of working out our salvation with fear and trembling, which means deliverance from molestation of the enemy. We all have, we've all been molested by the enemy because of the generational iniquities of the forefathers, because of things that have been done to us that we haven't repented of or haven't forgiven, things that have that we've done to other people. We all have a history, a story, and it begins even in the womb when we become a living being, because babies can hear in the womb. John the Baptist can hear his Mary's voice, and the Bible said that he leapt for joy in the womb, was filled with the Holy Spirit. And so that was a positive thing, but a negative thing is little babies can hear in the womb. And it's so detrimental to a baby for a mother to be pregnant and somebody pronounce over it, it's going to be a boy, or I want a boy, or I want a girl. That's one of the roots to homosexuality, wanting a boy when it's a girl, or wanting a girl when it's a boy. What we need to say is, whoever you are, we are so excited to welcome you into our family. But people curse little babies even in the womb. And so the way he works, the way this works out, this law of sowing and reaping, if we don't deal with it, is it works out through our children. Many of you are grieving over children that are doing the exact same thing you did. So you're reaping what you sow. And so when you have a child that's rebellious, what you need to do is examine your heart. Did I do anything they're doing? Did their forefathers do it? If you're divorced, did their daddy do it? Did their mother do it? Did the grandpa or grandma do it? And deal with it. You know, Bill Gothard says, what parents excuse in moderation children will abuse in excess. And that's the law of sowing and reaping. You plant a grain of corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn with hundreds of kernels of corn. You get the same thing you plant, more than you plant, and later than you plant. So whatever you do, it's going to be multiplied in your children. An example is I had a man, I think he was in Pennsylvania. He said, my daughter is so irresponsible, she won't pay her bills, she's shacking up. I said, well, did you do that? He said, oh my goodness, she's just like me. Another lady, and some of you have heard this, but there's been lots of stories, but these are the ones I can remember the most. But another lady said, pray for my daughter, she's fixing to marry a Muslim, and she's a Christian. I said, did you ever do anything like that? And she said, no. She said, oh, yes, I did. She said, I was going to the University of Mexico in love with a bullfighter, and I was going to quit a chunk America. Well, I got home, and I forgot she wanted me to pray for her daughter. So when I got home, I called the hostess to say, what was that daughter's name? I forgot. She said, you don't have to pray for us. And the mother repented. The daughter's already broke up with the Muslim. You see, the law of sowing and reaping sets in motion forces for me to keep reaping the same thing that I sowed. And so those of you who are younger can save yourself a lot of pain if you deal with things now. And praise God that there are children in this room that are getting delivered. Thank God for the children. So it works out in our children. It works out in our grandchildren. It works out in our jobs. It'll work out with your boss. Many people tell me, my boss doesn't appreciate anything I've ever done. Well, that goes back. I said, well, did your mother? No, they didn't appreciate it either. You see, it goes back to a judgment they made on their mother and father. It works out in sons. It works out in daughters. It works out in daughter-in-laws. It works out in sons-in-laws. It works out in your in-laws. And, you know, I was reading a scripture the other day, and it said a man's enemies will be those of his own household. And I thought I had an insight into that. Why is that? God says that, and God says he causes it or he allows it. Why is that? Because they are doing some of the same things we did, and until we deal with our stuff, the reaping is going to continue. And if we have a lost child and we're praying for them and wanting them to change, they're not going to change till we change. Amen? So I'm thankful that the Lord's taught me that. It works out with our mates. 99% of the time when you're married, the things you fight about are the very unresolved issues of judgments you made on your mother and father. You can save yourself a lot of pain, a lot of arguing, just going in the prayer closet and say, Lord, how does this relate to my childhood? Jesus said, treat others the way you want to be treated. What he was saying was, not only treat others the way you want to be treated, but he was basically saying, how you treat others is how you're going to get treated. The law of sowing and reaping. Deuteronomy 5:16, honor your father and mother, that your days will be long upon the earth, and that life will go well for you. So wherever life isn't going well, you know, if you're wanting victory and wanting deliverance, wherever your life's not going well, ask God, did you dishonor your mother and father? Honor doesn't mean you have to like them or if they're evil, fellowship with them, but it means that by sundown you forgive them for their poor stewardship. We judge our parents and the judgment that sets in motion forces for us to keep on reaping. And so the only way we can stop the reaping is take accountability, forgive, ask God to forgive us, forgive our forefathers, break generational curses, put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between us and that reaping process, and God will change the negative reaping to positive reaping. In the parable of the sower, it says the sower goes out to sow the word, and that's what we're doing when we give you scripture. We're sowing the word of God, and it says that some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. And it says, and some fell among thorns where the worries and the cares and the pleasures and the lust and the desire for other things choked out the word. And then it says, and the third soil was some seed fell on hard ground. And if you ever planted seed on, how many have ever planted seed on a hard ground? I mean, it just doesn't work. wouldn't you? I must have bought about 5 pounds of wild bird seed. No, wildflowers. I'm sorry. It ended up being bird seed. Yeah, my grandkids used to get so tickled at me. I said, I'd be driving along I-20, and I'd say, those are the flowers I planted. And they'd say, oh, ha, ha, they didn't believe it. But listen, delphiniums don't grow along I-20. ragweed does, and some other stuff. And sometimes, you know, we used to plant bird seed, and I remember giving them a spoon, and it was raining, and we were trying to plant seed along the road. Anyway, they still laugh about that. But anyway, so the seed that falls on hard ground, it says when the sun or the circumstances of life hit it, it withers away. And so if you've ever planted something on hard ground, you might plant it and it'll be hanging by just kind of a little thread. And the minute the sun hits it, it just goes like this. And you go water it and it'll perk it up. And then if you don't dig around it, a few days later you go out there and it's dead because the sun hits it. And when Jesus explained that parable, he was saying when the circumstances of life hit, those that have a hard heart, where the seed of God's word has been sown on a hard heart, that it withers away. And then the fourth soil was the seed that was sown on good soil that produced fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And Jesus explained that parable that when the birds came, that the birds and the demons were Satan that stole the word. And the second soil was sown among thorns, which represented the worries and the cares and the pleasures and the desire for other things, the desire for riches that choked out the word. And the third soil represented the people that received the word of God with joy, but the minute they had to realize they had to die to their flesh, they fell away. And so the good soil produces fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. And so God says in Proverbs 4:23, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. So all of the issues of our life flow out of our heart. And we all have a history. I missed that some place here. Anyway, our history is that we were born with a garden, a spiritual garden full of mess, based because of the sins of the fathers. The Bible says the sins of the fathers pass on to the children to the third and fourth generation. That's 30 to 40 forefathers. But incest and illegitimacy goes 10 generations, which I think is approximately 2,040 forefathers. So if we don't break the curse every day, it loses. Children that have been incestually conceived sometimes are mentally off. And illegitimacy, a child that's conceived illegitimately, is conceived in rebellion, is conceived in lust, shame, and with rude rejection. And so many people that were illegitimately conceived, the Bible says that the illegitimate cannot enter the sanctuary of the Lord. And that's a spiritual place more real than this building. But praise God, when that curse is broken, you can come into the sanctuary of the Lord. I was born under an illegitimate curse and didn't even know it because I had grandparents that were married 50, 60 years. There was no divorce in the family. But I found out that I had a great, great grandmother that got pregnant out of wedlock by a married man and gave him, her son, the name Reddick, which was my maiden name, but really because the daddy was married, the name should have been McLeod. And so I always felt like I was on the outside looking in. And so I've been dealing with these kind of things, rejection and all these kind of things for years and years and years, where now rejection doesn't bother me anymore. And praise God, you can be set free from that. Rejection is an evil spirit. And it's also one of the giants on the land. Every time I conquer a giant, I rest, have victory. And so we stopped the reaping by finding out how it got there and repent of our sin, forgive whoever sinned against us, break generational curses. There's a lot of mess that comes down on us. You can just look at the perversion in the generations. And God tells us in Proverbs to watch over our heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. And so failure to guard and watch over our heart causes thorns and thistles to grow in our spiritual garden. And, you know, even by the words we speak, if we're not speaking God's word, we're sowing the wrong kind of seed in our spiritual garden. And if we don't guard our hearts and watch over our hearts, we can be like this man that's found in Proverbs 24, where it says, I passed by the field of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles, and its surface with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Well, that's a picture of a garden with no fence around it. So if there's no fence around this man lacking sense, because he don't watch over his garden, the fence is broken down, and when the fence is broken down, it becomes trampled ground, and guess what? Wild animals and everything else can eat up the garden. It says, when I saw it, I reflected upon it, and I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a armed man and your, I'm sorry, like a robber, and your armed, and your poverty will come as a robber, and your want like an armed man. Now, who do you think that is? It's the devil. We can't be asleep. We've been talking about the Church of America being asleep. This man was slumbering. And listen, most Christians in America are asleep because sin is never preached against in the church. And churches that preach against the sin won't get very big because that people had rather go someplace with the smoke and the lights and have their ears tickled and keep on living just like they want to live. And there is a payday coming. In Luke 13, Jesus began telling this parable of a man who had a fig tree, and he planted it in his vineyard, and master came looking for fruit on it and couldn't find any. It says, and he said to the vineyard keeper, behold, for 3 years I've come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and I don't find any. Cut it down. Why does it even use up the ground? Then the vineyard keeper answered and said to him, let it alone, sir, for this year too, and I'll dig around it and plant it and put in fertilizer, and then next year if it doesn't produce, then you cut it down. And so 1 Corinthians 3:9 says that we're a building, we're a house, and we're a field. Isaiah 5:1 through really the whole chapter says, let me see now of my well-beloved concerning his vineyard. My well-beloved had a vineyard on a fertile hill. And he dug it all around, and we just read this in Luke 13. And he removed its stone and planted it with the choice vines and built a tower in the midst of it and also a wine vat in it. Then he expected it to produce good grapes, but it only produced worthless ones. And now, O inhabitants of Jerusalem and men of Judah, and judge between me and my vineyard. What more was there to do for it than I did? In other words, I suffered and died for it. In 2 Peter, it says, I've already given you all things pertaining to life and godliness. He says, why then, when I expected it to produce good grapes, did it produce worthless ones? So now, let me tell you what I'm going to do to my vineyard. I'll remove its hedge, and it'll become consumed, and I'll break down its wall, and it'll become trampled ground. I will lay it waste. It will not be pruned or hoed. Briars and thorns will come up, and I'll charge the clouds to rain no rain on it, which is a type of the Holy Spirit. Now in John 15, he says, every branch in me that produces good fruit, he says, I prune it, right, so they can produce more fruit. Well, the judgment is he isn't going to prune you anymore. He isn't going to water you. There'll be no Holy Spirit. Acts says he gives the Holy Spirit to those who obey him. It says, for the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his delightful plant. Thus I look for justice, and behold bloodshed, for righteousness, and behold a cry of distress. Now, when the wall is broken down, it becomes trampled ground, and it's a cry of distress because the demons are eating up the fruit. And the word distress nowadays can be translated stress. Many people go to the doctor and they'll say, can't find anything wrong with you, it's just stress related. It's a cry of distress. The church is under a cry of distress. Over-medicated when Jesus is our great physician. And I thank God for doctors, because people that don't know Jesus need a great physician. People that are not walking in truth need to go. But people that are disciples, that are sold out to Jesus, God's got an answer for everything we go through. He's our great physician. Praise the Lord. In John 15, Jesus said, I'm the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it so that it might bear more fruit. How many of you ever had a rose bush, and you let it get all scraggly, and there's no fruit? But if you trim it back, cut off the dead roses, water it, fertilizer, and even after a beautiful rain, the roses come out so beautiful. But it's got to be pruned. It's the same with fruit trees. John 15:4, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, and neither can you unless you abide in me. And that abide means to obey. It means to stay under God's authority. It means to be on the potter's wheel, letting God the potter fashion you the clay. If people are turning the potter's wheel, they live in unrest. They're trying to do it themselves, and you can't. John 15:6 says, if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away like a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire and burn them. Matthew 7:19 says, every tree that does not produce good fruit is torn down, cut down, so you will know them by, and thrown into the fire, you will know them by their fruits. Now I want you to picture yourself as God says you are, your soil, your vineyard, in 1 Corinthians 3:9, you're building in a field. In Matthew 13, Luke 8, Mark 4, your soil. In Genesis, your dirt and earth. In Isaiah 5, you're the vineyard of the Lord of hosts. And your heart is the spiritual garden. I want you to picture your heart as a spiritual garden. Now, the kind of seed that's planted in that garden is going to produce the same kind of fruit that, in other words, if you, whatever you plant, that's what you're going to get. If you plant, that's positive or negative, evil or good. And so, everything you say, think, do, comes out of this spiritual garden of your heart. Even sickness comes out of this spiritual garden. If you don't deal with your unresolved bitterness and your anger and your hatred and your meanness and your negativity and your unbelief and your perversion and your critical heart, if you don't deal with it, eventually it'll work out in your physical body as sickness. And so everything has to be dealt with at the cross. And you don't panic and think, oh dear God, I couldn't deal with everything. No, you couldn't. So God allows you to have a problem, so he can show you what's next. And that's why you can count it all joy, knowing that the testing of your faith is producing endurance. Sometimes we want to give up, and God tells us, don't throw away your confidence, because you need patience. After you've done the will of God, you'll receive what you've been promised. So keep on persevering. When you want to give up on your healing, You know, it'd be so much easier, this walk of faith, this trial of faith, it's harder than if you just went and got a quick fix. It's tempting. And James 4:7 really gives us the solution to it all. Give yourself to God and resist the devil, and he'll flee. James 1:14 says, and Nikki quoted this, but each one is tempted when he's carried away by his own lust. Before it says that, it says, don't let anybody say that God tempted them. You know, I have people say, well, God told me to divorce my wife, divorce my husband. God don't tell you that. God tells you, never tells you anything that contradicts your word. His word. James 14:4 says, but everyone is tempted when he's carried away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and then sin brings forth death. And Nikki talked about that in Romans 7. I said, you know, David and I have been praying the Lord would download all the speakers with the messages he wanted them to have. And so I think it was interesting. A lot of things that's been shared kind of ties together. But these scriptures were scriptures that Nikki shared at 3 o'clock. He says, for I know that within me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. When I want to do good, I don't do good. When I don't want to do evil, I do evil. Why? Because sin is in my members. So what we plant and the generations before us planted in our spiritual garden, this will be the kind of fruit that's produced. And so we're all born with a garden full of mess because of the sins of our forefathers. And we all have a history. Because of these things that have been sown and planted in our lives by the things that have happened to us and the experiences of our life, the things that have happened, the things that have happened to us, the things we've done, the things our forefathers have done that have not been taken to the cross, we've all got a history. When you go to the doctor, he takes a medical record. Does your family have heart attacks? Do they have this? Any cancer in your family? Any kidneys? I tell you, I just praised God the other day. I went to the dentist and, you know, they gave me this thing to fill out and I said, I can't fill that out. You have to fill it out. I can't even read the little print. Anyway, she filled it out. She listed about 50 things. You have this, you ever have that? I answered no to every 50 question. I was so I say praise God because of deliverance and repentance. I give God the glory because he is the healer. And he's not so much wanting to heal you as he wants to cause you to walk in divine health. But if you deal with the attitudes, if you deal with the problems that come up, don't allow anger, don't allow bitterness, get over it by sundown. And I shared this before, if you can't forgive somebody, this is really key. You say the words, you know, forgiveness is not an emotion, it's a choice. You say the words, I forgive, and the next day you're still arguing with them in your head. Or next month, or 3 weeks later, or a month later, you're still arguing with them. You really haven't forgiven them because you can't get over it. And it's because it's an unresolved mother or grandparent, usually parent, issue. And I've shared this with many of you, and I'm going to share it again because it's so key. But I went to lunch with someone and we got in a disagreement and she said she was sorry and I said I was sorry and the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. Well, Lord, she said she was sorry, Lord. I said I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, she's just like your mother. You got mother issues. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. Forgive your mother for everything you don't like about her. I forgive my mother for this, 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 negativity. I forgive my mother for these things and then it was over. But if you can quickly forgive, it's not a hard issue. Other times people say, well, Jerry, forgive me for what I said yesterday. I said, what'd you say? Oh, I didn't think nothing of that. You see, that's not a hard issue. If you can quickly get over it. But if you're trying to forgive this turkey in the present, it goes back to the turkeys in the past. And so deal with it. And I'm thankful the Lord, you know, the Lord likes you to ask him questions. Why can't I? You know, the major reason why you don't ask God questions, you couldn't ask your dad and mom questions. So that's another issue. You've got to forgive your parents that you could never ask them a question. Or if you did, they never answered you in a mature way. And we're responsible. Only you and I are responsible for what we have in our spiritual garden. We are responsible for the kind of fruit that's being produced in our garden. If lust is being produced and you're constantly dealing with lust, ask the Lord how it got in. As, you know, you could have looked at pornography, or you could have gotten involved sexually with someone that was full of lust. You got their spirit of lust. And like Nikki said, I mean, lust is down in the flesh. It's there. But you can add to that lust by the things you do and that are not repented of. Praise God. Jesus died that we can redeem these things, that we can possess our land. This is the land that we have to possess. The problems in our life are the things we have to overcome. How could you ever be an overcomer if you had nothing to overcome? And so we should look at our problems as, hey, this is another opportunity to get free from something else. And you can do self-deliverance. Praise God for deliverance ministers to give you insight, but if you need to get in the Word of God for yourself, you need to pray. And the greatest deliverance is just start repenting over the Word as you read it. You'll get delivered. I can do that within 10 minutes and tears are running out of my eyes and clear water out of my nose. That's what it means to be washed with water in the Word. And don't think you're ever going to walk in victory, ever live an overcoming Christian life if you're not in the Word. The Bible says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to his Word. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. And so we possess our land by taking accountability, asking the Holy Spirit how these things got there, what did I do, what did my forefathers do, what has been done to me. And the scripture says I can pull down, uproot, and pluck it out in Jesus' name. And so God allows the problems to point you to what he wants to deal with next. And you may not like this, but God lets the devil attack you to get your attention. Amen? And then when God gets your attention and you repent, the devil's a joke. He's gone. Praise the Lord. Bless the Lord. And so listen to what comes out of your mouth and what's in your thought life. Mark says, take care how you listen, because to him who has, more will be given. But to him who thinks he has, even what he thinks he has will be taken away. You know, if you don't take care of your spiritual garden and you planted good things in your garden, the good word of God, don't think that you can continue to pour in trash and garbage and pornography and lust and television and commercials and internet and the demonic stuff. Don't think you can put that in your spiritual garden and live a holy life. God says without holiness, no man's going to see the Lord. And so if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God, then doubt comes by listening to the words of the devil. I'm thankful the Lord recently has delivered me in the last couple of months from listening to the devil. I don't listen to him anymore. He's beaten me up since 2008 over my eyes, and he's not doing that anymore. I tell him to shut up. I don't give him one inch. And I keep confessing the word of God. When you keep confessing the word of God over your spiritual garden, you're planting the word of God, and faith comes by hearing. And when I first started out believing the Lord for my eyes, I had about 98% unbelief. I didn't trust doctors at all, so that was, you know, I was at least a little bit ahead. But now that I've been doing this, now I've got about 5% doubt and 95% faith, because I've been putting the word of God. I've been saying to the devil what God says instead of repeating what he said. In Jesus' name. And that, you know, when I confess what the devil says, I'm planting thorns and thistles in my spiritual garden. And what you listen to will either build your faith or put fear on you, which is the opposite of faith. And there are many people that are perplexed and distressed over the influx of garbage and perversion that comes through their mind. And some abhor it. Those of you who are wanting to overcome it, abhor it. But there are some people that relish it. They like it. And you know, the scripture says in Psalms 103, I will set no unclean thing before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It will not fasten its grip upon me. In spite of that verse, Christians continue to pour in garbage into their spiritual life. by the things they listen to, the things they see, the things they do, the experiences they have, the compromise they have. They continue to do that. Because of that, they defile the good word of God in their lives. It says in Proverbs 12:14, a man will be satisfied by good with the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. And so is it any wonder why there's not much victory in the Christian life? Because Christians continue to violate their conscience and defile the good seed of God's word by putting in, it's kind of like if you have a garden and it's full of tomatoes and all these good plants and spinach and all these things, and then you throw in weed seeds. You don't have to take care of the weeds, but the weeds will choke out the good things. Leviticus 19:19 says, don't sow your field with two kinds of seed. It says in Deuteronomy 22:29, you shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seeds, or the produce of the seed which you've sown, and the increase of the vineyard will become defiled. Leviticus 26 says, you shall not sow your seed in vanity, which means uselessness and worthlessness and aimlessness, emptiness, or your enemies will eat it up. Now we, in the parable of the sower, it says seed falls beside the road and the birds eat it, the demons eat it. So it's saying the same thing in Leviticus. Don't sow your seed in emptiness and worthlessness and uselessness. Through movies, TV, internet, music, pornography, we're planting seeds of fear, perversion, torment, unbelief, doubt, deception, witchcraft, sorcery, antichrist, fear, torment. I can't tell you how many people over the years would tell me, I need your prayers because I have fear in my life. I said, did you ever watch horror movies? Oh my goodness, when I was a kid, I watched horror movies. Because there's always somebody lurking around the corner to get you. If you're like me, when I used to watch movies years and years ago, I remember a movie I saw in college, and I always had that. It was called A Love Affair to Remember. How many have seen that movie? You see how far back it's been since I've seen a movie. But anyway, Cary Grant was committing adultery with Grace Kelly, and you find yourself all for the adulterer instead of seeing how evil that is. Besides, to sit and listen to people take God's name in vain. And one time in my life, I could get into strife in a New York Minute because I used to watch Charles Bronson and Clint Eastwood movies. So you see, I'm way back there. You know, back then, I don't think they had as much witchcraft in the movies as they do now. Nowadays, the movies, from what I see, the commercials are laced with witchcraft. David Wilkerson wrote a book, and I read this in 1978, called Put the Trumpet to Your Mouth. And I didn't want to receive what was in that book, but I knew he was telling me the truth. And he said, God told me, he said, if you want the anointing of God, then God told Dave Wilkerson, if you want my anointing, you're going to have to turn the TV off. And it took me a whole year to do that, but I knew he was telling the truth. And this may seem radical, and you may think, boy, that's really radical. Well, let me tell you something. You know I'm speaking the truth. That is the truth, whether you like it or not. And so you contaminate yourself, and you keep on putting this garbage in your spiritual life. And when you're my age or younger, you'll be sipping in, cheering, watching satellite TV. What a waste of your life. I'm serious. The biggest majority of American people, they're couch potatoes in front of the TV set. And little children are being demonized through the games they play, through the toys they have, through the movies they listen to. They're being programmed for the one world order, one world religion. And the Pope's coming to America. Somebody asked me what I thought of him. I said, he's a devil in a Pope suit. And I wouldn't look at him if he was sitting in my front yard. He's an evil man. I'm serious. He's evil. He's inviting people to his one world religion. So since 1992, I've been listening to the Word of God when I sleep. And I remember my grandkids used to like to spend the night with me, and they used to like to sleep with me. And David was just a little bitty boy. And I was, he had already gotten ready for bed. And I had the revelation going. That's a revelation. And so I was getting ready for bed. And when I came in there, he's up on that pillow like this. He said, "Is all of that real?" I said, "Yes, sir."
Oh, wow.
Song of Solomon, you say, well, if you're sleeping, how can you get the Word of God? I mean, how can they do that? So Song of Solomon 5:2 says, he said, "My body is asleep, but I'm awake." It goes into your spirit man. It plants it over your spiritual garden. I've been doing that since 1992. And I don't do it when I come to Lake Hamilton because I have too much other stuff to bring. But I do it at home. You say, well, how do you sleep with all that? Well, have you ever started reading the Bible and you get sleepy? There's people in this room that have a hard time sleeping. You know what you need to do? Put your Bible on the nightstand and say, okay, devil, you're going to wake me up. I'm going to hit you right between the eyes with the Word of God. And start reading the Bible, and I guarantee you'll go right to sleep. Because the devil don't want to keep you awake if you're reading the Bible. So let it be a profitable time. Hosea 10, verse 4 says, "They speak mere words. With worthless oaths they make covenants. And judgment sprouts like poisonous weeds in the furrows of a field." It says Ephraim, and Ephraim means double fruit. Now that, if I have a spiritual garden, and we all have double fruit, because even though you're dealing with everything, there's fruit there you don't even see. Right? We've got fruit for the Lord and fruit for the devil based on the experiences of our life, the things we've not dealt with that are evil. And so it says, Ephraim is a trained heifer, and he loves to thresh, means to tramp down his spiritual garden and make it harder. It says, "But I'll come upon his fair neck with a yoke. I'll harness Ephraim. Judah will plow, and Jacob will harrow." In other words, Judah means praise, and we plow up the ground and make it good sandy loam by plowing, by praise. And harrow means to level it out, so Jacob means to harrow. It says in verse 12, "Sow with a view to righteousness." In other words, what that's meaning is everything you put in your garden, make sure it's going to produce righteousness. Watch over your heart. It says, "Reap in accordance with kindness. Break up the fallow ground, for it's time to seek the Lord until he comes and rains righteousness on you. You have plowed wickedness and have reaped injustice. You've eaten the fruit of lies because you trusted in your numerous warriors. You trusted in your flesh." And so the kind of seed that's planted is the kind of fruit that's produced. Galatians 6 says, "If any man sows to the Spirit, sows to the flesh, he'll reap corruption. If he sows to the Spirit, he'll reap eternal life." And if you don't sow to the Spirit, your garden gets to be corrupted with nothing but weeds. That's not living an overcoming life. 1 John 3:21 says, "If your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God." Faith and trust. So all unbelief and doubt is coming out of a conscience that's not clear. James 3:14 says, "But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not lie against the truth, for this wisdom is not from above, but it's earthly, natural, and demonic. For if you have jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there's every evil thing. And the wisdom from above is first pure, peaceable, gentle, full of mercy, unwavering, and good fruit, and without hypocrisy. And the seed that is sown in righteousness is sown in those who make peace." Now, before the verse in Proverbs 4:23 that says, "Watch over your heart with all diligence," it says, "My son," in Proverbs 4, verse 20, "My son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my saying, do not let them depart from your sight, and keep them in the midst of your heart, for they will be health or healing to all those who find it, For there will be life to, there'll be life to those who find it, and health and healing to the whole body. So if we watch over our heart, we can have health in our body. And the way that works is 3 John 3 says, Beloved, I want above all that you prosper and then get health even as your soul prospers. And the word soul means psychic. So in other words, when your thought life lines up with the word of God, you can expect health and prosperity. What a tremendous promise. Hebrews 12:10 says, See to it no root of bitterness takes you over, and by it many people be defiled. It's the root of arthritis and cancer. Defile means to corrupt the purity. It means to debauch. It means to violate the purity. It means to tarnish the purity of character by lewdness. To stain, to contaminate, to sully, to become, to be made common, to become unhallowed and profane. It goes on to say, strengthen hands. This is a word for us today. Strengthen hands that are weak and knees that are feeble, and make straight paths for your feet so that the limb which is lame will not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. So all of our heart issues must be dealt with. If God brings them up or he allows the problem. So problems are good. You know, my daddy didn't know anything about deliverance. I don't think he ever believed it. But he'd say, if a person went through things, he'd say, the good Lord's just trying to get your attention. And he is. I don't know why we're this way, but if there's no problem, we don't really think we need God. Or we think we need him, but we don't deal with the issues until we have the problem. And some people can have the problem and never deal with the issues. That is so foolish. But deal with the issues so that you can live an overcoming life. And so the only way we're going to live in health and victory and overcoming life is to stop corrupting and defiling the good seed of God's word that's planted in our heart. Hebrews 9 says, For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers sprinkling those who become defiled, sanctified for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more the blood of Christ with his eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from every deed to serve the living God. 2 Corinthians 10:4-6 says, The weapons of our warfare are not worldly, but mighty to God for the smashing down strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high and lofty thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and taking into captivity, bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. So for victory to be realized, we're going to have to bring every thought, every word, every action, every deed under submission to the Lordship of Jesus. Deliverance and healing will come when we look at the fruit, trace the fruit to the root. Listen to what comes out of your mouth. Pay attention to what you think. Don't allow words and thoughts that don't line up with the Word of God. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you how they entered the sin behind the thought or the word. Take accountability for whatever God shows you. Forgive others. Ask God to forgive you. Break generational curses. Forgive yourself. Confess your sin. Break soul ties with every person who's violated you or you have violated. Break generational curses. Ask the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse your conscience by the blood of Jesus from all defilement. Psalm 51 says, David said, Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew in me a right spirit, that I may teach transgressors thy ways and sinners might be converted. You know, that's what life is all about. You know, the Christian life is not to make you happy, it's to glorify God. Your body's a temple of the Holy Spirit. Submit yourself to God and resist the devil, and he has to flee. Praise God. He inhabits your praises. The Bible says, Whoever offers praise glorifies me, and whoever utters his conversation aright, I'll show him my salvation. And so when we align our lives, our thoughts with the Word of God, prosperity and healing comes according to 3 John. So strengthen hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. May straight paths for your feet. Watch over your spiritual garden. Be careful. To watch over it means be careful what you put in your garden. It's hard enough to dig up one weed. If you've ever had to weed your garden, that is a job. And so that's what we have to be diligent. The Bible says the diligent shall rule, but he who deals with a slack hand will be put to forced labor. Amen. Don't be like that man lacking sense, where the wall of his, the stone wall was broken down. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to rest, and your poverty will come like a robber and your arm like an armed man. Okay, stand up and ask the Lord to show you the movies you've seen, the music you've listened to, the pornography you've looked at, what you've defiled yourself with. You can go with the biggest problem in your life. There may be so many problems in your life, you think, oh, dear Lord. But let me tell you something, the light's up ahead. God's not overwhelmed by all your problems. He's made provision at Calvary. So, Lord, search my heart. Test my thoughts. Let me know the truth, Lord, that sets me free. Show me, Lord, what I need to repent of. Because I want to pull down, uproot, and pluck out every demonic thought, attitude, word, and deed. In Jesus' name. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for not watching over my heart. Forgive me for being careless and like that senseless man that was asleep and let thorns and thistles grow up in his spiritual garden. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to forgive me for everything you've shown me. And I put the blood of Jesus and the cross of Jesus between me and this reaping process. In Jesus' name, I ask you to cleanse me from all defilement. I want to say this, I probably did, but if lust is in your spiritual garden, or perversion, or you're tempted to fornicate or get into sexual sin, you know, it could have been perversion in your forefathers, it could have been perverted relationships you've had. Looking at pornography opens you up to all of those demons. And so just look at the fruit, trace it to the root. If there's strife, find out. If there's anger, find out where the idols are. Lord, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not working out my salvation with fear and trembling. Lord, if I have wayward children, I just ask you to forgive me for doing the things they are doing. Forgive me for not treating others the way that I want to be treated. Forgive me for not honoring my father and mother. Lord, forgive me for not taking care of how I listen. Forgive me for setting my eyes on evil. Forgive me for being a sluggard, couch potato. Lord, forgive me for just keep on getting delivered and putting garbage in. I think I'm getting cleaned up and I just keep throwing more devil seeds in my garden. Lord, forgive me for not producing good fruit. Forgive me, Lord, for being in distress. Because you've removed the hedge, not pruned me or hugged me. You know, when we get pruned, and if you're a fruitful Christian, you're going to keep on getting pruned. God's going to keep cutting you back so you can produce more fruit. And so if he's not pruning you, there's something seriously wrong with you. We think it's just the opposite. I'm getting pruned, something must be wrong with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to remove the cry of distress from my life that came in through me not being fruitful. Forgive me for not abiding in you. God, forgive me for not producing good fruit, which would cause you to cut me off. Forgive me for the things I've looked at, the movies I've looked at, even the demonic commercials I haven't turned off, the dragons, the witches, the sorcerers, even all the images I've seen, even having to go to school and being in college. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me of all those images. Pluck those things out. Lord, I want the sin out of my members. I forgive my forefathers for everything you've shown me that's in my garden that was there because of them. Forgive me for being upset when I have a problem and not seeing that as an opportunity to redeem and get delivered. Lord, I give myself to you, and I resist the devil, and the word says he has to flee. Lord, forgive me for being the soil where the seed falls beside the road, sowing in vanity, which has caused the enemy to eat up my seed. Father, in the name of Jesus, forgive me for not taking every thought captive. Forgive me for sowing my field with two kinds of seed. And the evil seed corrupts the good. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to show me from this day forward, show me I do this. If I'm looking for God to give me an answer, I'm constantly looking of things that I've done, said in the past, movies I've seen. The Holy Spirit brings that to me, and I constantly deal with it and ask God to cleanse it out. Because He wants us to possess the land. This is the land, the heart. He wants us to possess all the things that trouble us and distress us. He wants us to possess it so we walk in peace, so the land can rest. Lord, forgive me for not aligning my life with the Word of God. Forgive me for speaking mere words with worthless oaths on made covenants, so judgment is sprouted like poisonous weeds in the furrows of my field. Forgive me for producing double fruit, being like Ephraim, hardening my heart, instead of being like Judah and Jacob to plow, praise, and harrow. Forgive me for not sowing with a view to righteousness and reaping in accordance with kindness. Lord, I ask you to break up the fallow ground. Lord, I want to seek you, Lord, until you rain righteousness on me. Forgive me for plowing wickedness and reaping injustice and eating the fruit of lies and trusting in my own way, my own numerous warriors. God, forgive me for sowing to the flesh. I've been reaping corruption. Forgive me for not having a clear conscience. Lord, I want to have a clear conscience. You know what? God wants you to live with a clear conscience. Not one thing troubling you. Living in total peace. And it's only as you go to the cross and give up your life that you can overcome fear even. You have to give it up. Forgive me for jealousy and selfish ambition. Lord, forgive me for having bitterness, jealousy, selfish ambition. Forgive me for lying against the truth. Lord, you said this wisdom is earthly, natural, and demonic. Ask you to remove it. Forgive me for selfish ambition. God, in Jesus' name, forgive me for not having the wisdom from above that's first pure, peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruit, unwavering, without hypocrisy. Lord, forgive me for not sowing righteousness and making peace. Lord, forgive me for not paying attention to your words, not inclining my ear to your sayings. Forgive me for not keeping your word in the midst of my heart, so it'll be life and life to me and health and healing to my body. Forgive me for not watching over my heart with all diligence. Forgive me for allowing a root of bitterness in my life, because I've let the sun go down on my anger. Forgive me for having my chastity corrupted, debauched, tarnished. My purity has been tarnished by lewdness, setting my eyes on evil. Forgive me for being stained, contaminated, impure, profane, uncommon, and unhallowed. Lord, I do ask you to forgive me for not strengthening hands that are weak and knees that are feeble. Forgive me for not making straight paths for my feet so that the limb which is lame will not be put out of joint, but rather be healed. Forgive me, Lord, for contaminating, corrupting the good seed in my heart by sowing the devil's seeds. Lord, would you cleanse me by the blood of Jesus from all the foulness? I take every thought captive to your obedience. I see the fruit, and you show me the root. God, I ask you to forgive me for not listening to what I say and paying attention to what I'm thinking. Forgive me for dwelling on lewd thoughts. Close every door I've opened to Satan. I take accountability for everything you've shown me. I ask you to forgive me. I forgive myself. I forgive every person who's hurt me. I forgive my mother and father. I confess my sin. I break soul ties with every person that I have wounded or who has wounded me or who has defiled me or who I've defiled. Call back my soul and spirit. Send back their souls and spirits. Exchange their image for the image of Christ. I don't want the image of the beast. Lord, we pull down, uproot, and pluck out the image of the beast in Jesus' name. We break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask you to cleanse my conscience from all defilement, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew in me a right spirit, that I might teach transgressors thy ways and sinners might be converted in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I praise you. I praise you for deliverance. I praise you for setting me free. I praise you, Lord, that this message is going to be used for future things of keeping the garbage out of my heart. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, I praise you, mighty God. I praise you, God. Now, in the name of Jesus, we come against perversion. We come against all the effects of pornography. We bind and break every word of death, word of iniquity, curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over the pornography. We break all sex hooks. We break all reels that want to reel them back into the sewer of the earth. We cut those reels. We cut those puppet chains. In Jesus' name, we break the power of lust, torment, sodomy. We break the power of bestiality. We break the power of adultery, fornication. We break the power of sorcery, witchcraft, antichrist, fear, torment, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. We break the power of lies, lying, unbelief, and doubt. Leave now in Jesus' name. We break your power. Every demon that came into the sins they've confessed have to leave them now in Jesus' name. All pain has to leave their bodies in Jesus' name. We break the power of unbelief and doubt. We break the power of rebellion. We break the power of antichrist. We break the power of prayerlessness. We break the power of distortion, we break the power of defilement. Come out, spirits of defilement, unclean spirits, come out. In Jesus' name, we break your power. In Jesus' name, spirits that wreak havoc in their life. In Jesus' name, spirits of lust. We just command sexually transmitted diseases to go now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus, we command every spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord out. We cast out familiar spirits. We command you to go in Jesus' name. We break your power. In the mighty name of Jesus, we come out hatred, greed, strife. We break your power. We command anger, bitterness, resentment, hostility, pride. Come out. In Jesus' name, unrest, come out. Fruitlessness, come out. in Jesus' name. Lord, I snatch them out of the fire in Jesus' name. I break your power over them. In the name of Jesus, we take accountability for whatever happened in the lives of our forefathers all the way back to Adam and Eve. Lord, let your cleansing blood flow down through the bloodline, washing away any ground Satan's had in our life through the sins of the forefathers, through our own sin. In Jesus' name, we break the power. We break the power of phallic worship. We break the power of yearning, sensuality, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the boastful pride of life. We break yokes of slavery off their life. We break it in Jesus' name. We break the power. We pull down, uproot, and pluck out all the demonic seed that came into the sins they confessed in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we break your power. We break your power in the name of Jesus. We command Leviathan out. In Jesus' name, Python, we command you out. We command water spirits out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we command slothfulness to go. In Jesus' name, we command laziness to go. In Jesus' name, we command the lack of diligence to leave in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, we command you to go. In Jesus' name, praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. We command torment. Go. Torture. Go. In Jesus' name. We command that playback, those playback demons, get out in Jesus' name. All the demons that playback pornography, get out in Jesus' name. We command that Satan, we command you to shut up. Get out in the name of Jesus. You will not speak to us. Lord, we pull out all those negative words we spoke. We nullify, make void, and cancel every negative word, every word of death, every word of iniquity we've spoken. We command arthritis to go, bitterness to go in Jesus' name. We break your power. Cancer, you have to leave in Jesus' name. Unforgiveness, you have to go. Pain, you have to leave in Jesus' name. We break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Yearning, the spirit of yearning that came in through looking at pornography in Jesus' name. We break your power in Jesus' name. Every spirit that would pull them back into pornography, pull them back into sin, we command you to go now in Jesus' name. We break the power of witchcraft that came in through movies. Witchcraft, sorcery, divination, that came in through black masking, through backward masking in music. In Jesus' name, we renounce Lucifer. We renounce you, Satan. We break your power in the name of Jesus. All the demons that play back a tape recorder of all the things we've done that are sin that would draw us back into lust. In Jesus' name, Lord, I loose on every person a hunger and thirst for righteousness. I loose on them a love of the truth. I loose on them a seeking first of your kingdom and your righteousness. I loose on them your peace, Lord, in Jesus' name. Let the land rest, Lord, in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Joan, did you have a question? Okay, well, your hand was up. Okay, Lord, we ask you to give us a peaceful night's sleep. Let us feel like we've slept 100 hours. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.